Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good glorious day to you all once again. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and this is your episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values are just potential BS. Bait and switch, if that's what you need to think about. But my point is, I believe that love is the one premise upon which we can live a life of authenticity, a life of value, and a life that doesn't need to be constantly managing or manipulating other people. BSing them is another way to put that. We need to live our own life without living other people's lives or spending our energy trying to manage or manipulate somebody else. I've told people many, many times, I've got my hands full trying to manage me without trying to take your life in and manage it. So love's the answer to all of that. And that's why I come to you on Saturday nights and Sunday mornings and I discuss the subject of love. It is an inexhaustible subject, seriously. I'm discovering the more I share and talk about it, the more I teach about it, the more I realize I need to learn. And as I teach, I learn. I found that teaching is the best way to learn something. So that's why today I want to talk to you about the school of love. I mentioned it last weekend briefly, but it's something that's been cooking in my mind and heart for some time now. And in fact, I'm actually in the new year, 2021, considering a school of love, that we would enroll in a school of love to become students of the highest truth of all eternity. The highest truth is love. And you know, here's something I believe about love. I believe God is love. Love is God. 1 John 4 says, he who dwells in love dwells in God. And so what I know about love is that it is eternal because it is God. Having said that, I don't have to make every other word that I say when I'm talking about love. I don't have to make every other word a Bible verse or I don't have to go through a catechism of explaining love, because love is a universal power. It's a universal subject. It's a universal thought. And yes, there are religious foundations to it, obviously, because if God is love and love is God, well, then there are religious overtones. But when we talk about love, we're talking a universal language that all 7 to 8 billion people on the planet understand something about it, and they want to know more about it. Every human being knows instinctively that love's the answer, whatever the question is. Every human being knows they've been on the receiving end of good love, and they've been on the receiving end of a deficit of love. We've all been love deprived, every one of us. There's no such thing as a person who's had all the love they could ever manage. Everybody has been missing the love of a neighbor, the love of an employer, the love of a spouse, or the love of a child. We've all been deprived at some level. I don't mean catastrophically always. It could be. But we've all missed on some level of love, and it distorts us. It creates distortions in us, great or small, when love has been absent. That being said, I'm discovering that every human being needs to enroll in the school of love. I'm here today to talk to you about how we've got to offer ourselves as disciples, as students, as people who pull up in that school desk and let the teacher call the class to order and say, "All right, students, today we're going to learn the most inexhaustible subject on the planet. Today we're going to discuss the most complex challenge in the world, and that is love." So let me take the next 20-30 minutes with you, and let's get a little classroom pulled together. Hello, I'm your professor. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. If you'll pull up your desk and open your notebook with me, take some notes, pay close attention, please, and no fooling around back there in the back of the classroom, no shooting spit wads. Oh, man, that's my age showing there. But I want you all to sit up straight in your desk and listen carefully as we have a discussion today about the school of love. We need to, I believe, have have a love examination, a taking a love inventory of our life. I've discussed this over the last several months with you, that we've all been on the receiving end of really, really moving and beautiful love. Everybody's had somebody that's loved you just right. You either had a parent, hopefully a mom or a dad that loved you right, or a grandparent. You know, if everybody in the world could just have a good grandmother, a good grandfather, my goodness, the world would be a better place, wouldn't it? Well, obviously a good mom and a good dad, but boy, it's a great bonus when you got a grandmother or a grandfather that loved you right. My wife has blessed me with loaning to me her meemaw and her papaw, her grandparents, just delightful people. Her meemaw became Ginger's mentor because meemaw was she's a southern lady with enough spit fire in her to light a fireplace. I tell you, that lady had the strength of 10 men and emotionally stable and fully able to defend herself when it came to any kind of confrontation. And Ginger learned at the feet of meemaw how to be a strong and intelligent woman. Her grandfather, who we called Papaw, became my mentor. I was so blessed as I came into my early years of ministry back in the 70s when Ginger and I were married in 74. I inherited Papaw, who had at that time close to 50 years of ministry experience in his mind, his life. And Papaw just really so gently and such as a southern gentleman took me under his wing and shared with me thoughts that stay with me to this day. I am forever grateful for Papaw's mentorship and the friendship that I gained in him. Now, having said that, in the school of love, let's all take a good solid inventory of the people who loved us right. Let's appreciate it. Let's show gratitude. If they're alive, make sure you're saying it and saying it. Don't ever feel like you're a broken record. You know, yesterday's gratitude can be today's stale bread. So get your mind focused on having a careful record, a careful daily recollection of who has contributed in your life to the benefits of you knowing how to love. Say it to those people. You taught me how to love. You showed me love. When you said this to me, it was such a loving thing. When you did that for me, I just it changed my life. It brought something fresh into my heart and life. Expressing gratitude to the people who've brought you the benefits of love is in itself an act of love. It's an act of a deep affection, that when the people who have given you something know that it was a gift that has value, oh man, that brings value to the person that gave it, and they recognize, I mean something in this life. It's powerful. It really is. You know, and I'm going to give you a little aside here. You know, in the 21st century, we're running into a problem here in Western civilization of losing value for the elders of our life, losing a sense of real appreciation for the wisdom and the stability and the foundations that they have brought to us. Eastern culture, especially, you know, when you talk about China and Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia and Thailand, the great cultures of the East, they don't take for granted their elders. Japan is another one that comes to my mind. Those cultures, Eastern civilization, has sustained deep roots, and boy, their civilizations are some of the oldest on the planet, and the reason for their longevity is the fact that they love their elders. They don't warehouse their elders. They don't treat their elders like they're an old book that's got to be put on the shelf. They treat their elders as if they were life itself. So as we, you know, this is just a little aside. Sorry, I'm chasing a rabbit. And I want to chase this rabbit and tell you that if you have elders in your life for whom you have deep gratitude, go over there and tell them, and tell them routinely, because, you know, I'm 67 and I forget, you know, I forget yesterday's business. So tell me again today, because I might have forgotten yesterday. And how much more for somebody who's 77, 87, 97, give your gratitude to those who have given you information and formation in this life, because you know, today may be the last moment you have to say it to them. So making sure that you have kept a good list of your love benefactors, the people who have written those love checks to you. They had such a great savings account. It was deep and wide, and they could write a love check into your mind and your heart, and they wrote them big, and they wrote them strong, and they wrote them regularly. Make sure you tell them thank you. It's huge. It is valuable. It means something in this life. Second of all, in the school of life, I came across something the other day in a public radio broadcast. It is a podcast. I've got to look it up, but mentally I took great notes of this was a person who was talking about how to live your life on the sacrificial side of recognizing that life can be better no matter how many negative things have happened to you. Oh my gosh, he was so profound. So his catchphrase for all of what I just said was the last moment. Treating every moment as if it's the last moment you'll ever see what you just saw. He talks about, you know, if one hot summer day I'm out mowing my yard and I'm struggling to put one foot in front of another, I'm just suffering under the blazing sun and the grass is thick and heavy and I'm pushing my lawnmower. If I can remind myself this might be the last time I ever mow the lawn, well, then I might just perk up and pay more attention to the moments I'm in. And then he added this was the winning argument about it. He said, you know, because someday I'm not going to be able to be out there pushing a lawnmower. Someday I'll be in my 80s or 90s and I'll be physically incapable of pushing that lawnmower. Someday I'll remember that summer day when I was pushing my lawnmower 30 years ago. And I'll remember the smell of the grass. I'll remember the warm sunshine on my face. I'll even remember a little bit of the suntan that I got being out there in the sunshine. I'll remember that tall, cool drink that I had after I finished mowing the yard. And I'll think to myself as an old woman or an old man, and I'll look back at that hot summer day someday, and I'll think to myself, those were the good old days. You know? See that? Oh, that is so beautiful. To recognize everything that's going on in my life as potentially the last time I'll experience it? Wow. Every little thing becomes a big thing then. So if I'm scratching my dog's head and I'm looking in that little dog's eyes and I'm saying, oh, Dixie, you're such a sweet little dog. If I can think of that as maybe this is the last time I'll ever look in the little brown eyes and tell her what a good dog she is. Then I savor it just a little more. Or if the next time I eat a steak, and maybe it's a little tough, maybe it's not quite cooked as much as I want or cooked too much, but if I could slow down my negativity and gain some positivity and savor the bites, maybe cut it in a little smaller bites, maybe use a little more steak sauce to cover the overcooked nature of the steak, maybe if I savored it just a tiny bit more and treat it as if maybe this is the last steak I'll ever eat, I guarantee you, you'll savor it in a whole different way. And so is life, and so is love. Allowing every moment to be appreciated, to take it in. Take in the moment. Don't race past it. Don't go fussy beyond it because it's a hot summer day and I'm having to mow the yard, or because this steak is overcooked and I just don't like it cooked like this. But to see the possibility that this is a moment to savor. That's part of the school of love, students. That's taking notes of how life can just race right by us. And we hardly even knew what came day by day by day. I heard the story one time of a minister who, back in the 40s, I think it was, and had a terrible car crash. And this was before the day of safety measures, no airbags, no seat belts. And they were in a head-on collision, he and his wife. And somehow or another, I think they were on a family outing, and his son and his wife and children were in the car behind them. They saw this terrible accident. His son came running up and saw his dad just breathing his last. And he said, Dad, what can I do? And his dad said, just please take my hand, lift my hand up and place it on your mom. And his mom, the young man's mother was already expired and because of the accident. And he took his dad's hand and laid it on his mom's lifeless body. And he said, thank you, son. You know, I mean, that's an extreme dramatic thing, but it does set in tone the nature of how life can be more precious when we examine it at a level like that, to the simplest of moments where I just want to touch your mom one more time if I'm not going to survive this. And the man did not survive. I recall, you know, so many experiences as a pastor, as I've watched people pass from this life to the next. Native Americans call it, they walked on. People who just kept walking out of this life and into the next. And I have seen people who have been alone in those moments. And I recognize they weren't alone because of some catastrophic event. Typically, people are alone in that last moment of life because there have been 1,000 other neglected moments leading up to it. So my point here is, let love call you to a higher value of appreciation and gratitude for the people who are in your life, and see to it that you are treating every moment as if it were the last moment of your life. Treating every moment as if it was the last time you got to kiss your spouse or your significant other. Treating every moment as if this was the last time I'm going to mow the yard. Maybe then we'll arrive at the doorstep of love in a way that we've rarely, if ever, been there. So that's the second part of the school of love. First is the gratitude for our love pluses, assimilation of love that's been in our life. Second is to treat every moment as if it was the last, giving ourselves the full complement of understanding that every moment is precious. Every moment is precious. You don't have to have a big event to make it a precious moment. It can be precious all in and of itself. And last but not least, in the school of love and going forward into the new year 2021, I would encourage you to recognize that we need, all of us, I'm talking to me, and please hear me when I say, when I'm teaching on love, I'm not a perfect practicer. I'm a journeyman. I'm on a journey. I'm learning. I'm a student in this school of love too. I am the teacher, but you know, again, teachers learn as much, maybe more, than the students, because they're having to prepare themselves to give something of value to their students. So understand that I see no perfection in me. I do see, though, a passionate, purposed journey. I want my life to count for love, and love alone is the reason I'm eating and sleeping and breathing and resting, gaining energy to live another day, is for the purpose of living the value of love. Having said that, this third part is to extricate myself, get myself out of the pit of negativity, drag my mind, my mouth, my meditation, mind, mouth, and meditation, get it out of the constant grind of the negativity. So going back to the public radio broadcast that I heard the other day, he told the story of Neil Armstrong. You know who that guy is, right? First man on the moon, Neil Armstrong. He was learning how to land the lunar module. Now, the lunar module in our current terms, I mean, lunar module, late 60s. What a miracle all of that technology was in the time. So much of that, those calculations were done by hand. And so here's Neil Armstrong on Earth before the blast for the moon. He is learning how to land the lunar module in a desert setting. So it was similar to what they assumed the moon and the landing would be on the surface of the moon. And the lunar module, by current technical evaluations, was just a big tin can with some little jets on the bottom of it. And they said of the lunar module, landing that thing was like trying to balance a big plate on the end of a broomstick, trying to keep that thing steady and balanced as it came down to the surface. So he was practicing, obviously, with a lot of supervision, a lot of communication. He was practicing how to land the module on a desert surface. As he came in for, it was dropped off of a crane so it could just kind of float down. As he was coming in, very slowly, he had, you know, just a joystick like a airplane pilot, and he was trying to manage this thing down. Well, a valve, one of the valves in the lunar module, practice module, stuck. And so this little mock-up of the lunar module tilted to a 90-degree angle and went wildly the wrong way. Well, that moment for him, for Neil Armstrong, was crisis. He was enough of a test pilot that he knew he had to punch the eject button, and his seat ejected from the lunar module. His parachute opened, and he landed safely away. But this multi-million-dollar little thing called the practice lunar module crashed and blew up in a ball of flames. Well, later, Neil was back in the headquarters, and as you might imagine, for a project of that nature, he had to write a long report. And those were the days when writing a long report was by typewriter or by hand. And so he was in his office writing up a report. Somebody who did not know about the accident walked by his office, saw him working hard, and said, "Hey, Neil, how's today going?" And Neil's response is the point of what I'm bringing here. Neil looked up and said, "Everything's fine." And he got right back to his report. Well, the person who asked how his day was going walked down the hallway and ran into somebody else who said, "Hey, did you hear? Neil crashed the test lunar module." Well, so this guy went back and said, "I thought you said everything was fine." And Neil said, "Well, it is. I lived. I got out of there. And now we're going to learn more about how to make it work." There's a great parable of how to live your life on the positive side of seeing the world. To me, this is love. It's loving what you do enough to recognize they're going to come some crash. You're going to be a crash test dummy yourself. I've called myself for years. I'm God's crash test dummy. Sometimes he runs me into a wall just to see if I'll get up and walk again. And I have been in a way more the wall crashes than I can count. But I'm thankful that I got up and walked again. When we do life with love, we recognize that there are no crashes that are worthless, that crash is a moment of learning. It's a point of discussion. And if I will love that I'm alive, if I will love that I had an opportunity, if I can love where there could be the possibility of deep depression or deep agony or deep bitterness or deep sense of a violation, if I can love right then, well, then I'm learning the depth of God's love. So in the school of love, we are invited to a self-examination that calls us to a higher level of appreciation for anything and everything in life. Here in the middle of the pandemic in 2020, here in the middle of COVID-19, it's been hard. We're all suffering. We're all losing something along the way. But in the hardship, if we will pick through the rubble and look for the gold that is getting compressed out of this, the diamonds, I should say, that are being compressed in the middle of this, we will find them. But you have to look. You have to examine life for the good. And then have an appreciation, going back to the very first part of today's No BS Bishop, to have an appreciation to demonstrate gratitude that I've got this moment. I've got right now. I'm not promised another moment. I'm not promised tomorrow, but I am promised this very moment that I'm drawing a breath. Isn't that true? You know, it's basic, but I'm here to tell you that in the 21st century, I think there are some basics that need to be unpacked with a whole lot more discussion for being able to go forward in life and have a powerful and positive life and influence as we go forward. I want to be remembered as the guy who was journeying toward love. I want to be known as that guy. You know, he got it wrong on some occasions, and I do, but he got more right than he got wrong because he was reaching. When you reach, when you lean to reach, sometimes gravity will just take over and you'll reach enough. You know, sometimes now in my 60s, when I'm reaching for something, I'm leaning over to reach, I finally feel like, okay, gravity's taking over. Maybe that'll give me an extra inch to reach for that that object that I've got to get. Well, my time's running out. I want to practice the two things we do at the end of every broadcast, and that is, first of all, to breathe. Now, here we go. I want you to draw a long breath and put it to the bottom of your lungs, right down to the foundation of your lungs' capacity for oxygen. On the count of three, take a long draw on air. Here we go. One, two, three. Draw in and hold it deep and exhale. Every so often in your day, do that. Stop what you're doing and breathe deep and hold it. Now I'm gonna cut right to the second practice, because this seems to be, for me today, extremely valuable, especially now during Christmas and New Year's holiday season. Let's be sure to give the moment of the pause of love, making sure you look somebody in the eye. Give them your full eye contact. If you're not used to it, it's going to feel weird, and I'm just going to tell you, go ahead and make it weird. Go ahead and feel the awkwardness of looking somebody in the eye and be intentional to say, I love you. Here, I want to say this. If you don't do it on occasion, you'll never do it meaningful on any other level. So every once in a while, gather yourself up and look somebody in the eye when you say it, and give them the full appreciation of saying, I love you. Now that you've done that, account for yourself, as a student in the school of love, account for yourself that you have done something of the highest human value. Seriously, this is the highest human value, that we have given love to somebody, even if it was just for the simplicity of saying it out loud. Thanks again for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm a no BS bishop. I'm not going to bait and switch you. I'm not going to BS you. I'm not going to tell you something that is just trying to get something out of you. I want you to know that the highest value in life is love. It's not optional equipment. It's not a secondary pursuit. It is the human pursuit that matters above all other pursuits. And since I'm alive to love, I'm here to tell you that if we can right now purpose in our mind to get out there and do something beautiful today, do something beautiful, because ugly, oh baby, ugly has been done to death. Let's let beauty own the day today. Thanks for being here today. Again, I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and you have been listening to the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.